Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Joe Klein, who spent many years working in law enforcement here in Round County and recently very quietly retired. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Leanne. I appreciate you letting me come be part of this program.
Well, we love to have you on. I was very surprised when I gave you a call because I knew you'd have all the information, and of course you're like, well, I hate to tell you, I don't have the information because I'm no longer working there.
Right. I've been out of the loop for a couple weeks now. I'm starting my third week. I've got some time I had to take off. It's earned time. If I don't take it off, I'll lose it. But I'm working into retirement, and it's almost 35 years, and I've always heard it, you'll know when it's time, and it's time for me.
This time you're retiring from the Round County Sheriff's Department. Let's talk a little bit about how you got your start in law enforcement. Go back to that 35 years ago and tell me which department did you start with?
I've been able to do, since I've had a little bit of time to think and reflect back on my career, and been very blessed with a career in law enforcement. And it goes back to Olive Hill, my hometown. I originally started with the Olive Hill Police Department as a dispatcher. It's referred to as telecommunication. That's officer now, but at that time I was a dispatcher and sat in the office and answered the phones and got on the radio. And of course, at that time we dispatched police, fire, ambulance, whatever the need was, And from that point, as a dispatcher, probably a year to 18 months as a dispatcher, and I got an opportunity from the chief at that time, Lester Pelfrey. He gave me the opportunity to go to the police academy. And he said it would be good to have somebody that could fill in, small agency over there. I think at that time we had five officers, and I said if somebody was on vacation or out sick, I could fill in as a police officer from the dispatch office. And I said, that sounds good. I'm willing to do that. And that was in about 1985. I went to the police academy. The academy class started February the 4th. I turned 21 on January the 15th, and I started the police academy February the 4th. So it wasn't too much time, in between there. And then I graduated April the 12th of 85, and then I got a call from the Morehead Police Department and asked if I was interested in a position. At that time, Chief James Pelfrey. And I told him I was, and I started law enforcement in Olive Hill, went through the police academy, but I spent 16 years with the Morehead Police Department.
Did you have that moment where you were like, this is me, this is who I am?
Probably while I was in the police academy. Mm-hmm. I was doing it, because I as a dispatcher, you sit and you answer the calls, and the old saying is, it kind of gets in your blood, And I noticed that I was interested in the job that the police officers did out on the street versus me sitting in the office. And when I got that opportunity to go to the police academy and got hands-on and was able to do it and through that training, Department of Criminal Justice Training out of Richmond is a top-notch training agency, recognized worldwide. And at one time, recognized as one of the top five in the United States as far as training. And when I arrived there, from the moment I got there, I felt, this is something that I can do, and felt inspired to do it. I think it's a calling. I don't think it's something that you necessarily choose, because if you do, you might go through the motions for a while, but I don't think you can do it very long. I think you're called into it, and you accept the calling, and that's my belief that the only reason I could last almost 35 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, after your first 16 years with the Morehead City Police, then you moved over to Morehead State University?
Yes, State University Police. I was a detective with the city. I worked, I think it was 10 years as in patrol. I got assigned in the position as a detective. I worked there 6 years. And the assistant chief's position came open here at Morehead State. And I felt that I needed to look towards administrative position. I know that Morehead, we were limited, kind of like MSU. You've got a smaller agency. and your promotional opportunities are limited. Mm-hmm. So I noticed that the assistant chief's position came open. I applied, and in February 2001, I was notified that I was hired for the position. I accepted the position. And from that point on, probably it was 2001, 2003, in January, I was promoted to chief of police mm-hmm. here at Morehead State. And I tell you, Morehead State is a great place. It's a great place to work. It's a great atmosphere. A lot of people's asked me, out of all the agencies you've worked, from Morehead Police Department, Olivefield, to Morehead, to Morehead State, to the Rankin County Sheriff's Office, where's the best place to work? And I always said Morehead State University is the best place to work. Best job I ever had has been chief deputy sheriff. Mm-hmm. But the best place was Morehead State. And I worked for 2001 to 2008, January 1st, 2008, and I retired. And
right.
A lot of people refer to, well, you retired, that's your first retirement. Yeah, that's the first time I retired. But I knew that, the job I had done here with tremendous help. I mean, one person can't do everything, and it takes a great group of people, and we had that, and they're still a great group here. I know several that's here, but we was able to put some things together, accomplish some goals that we had set forth, and a lot of good things did happen, while I was here. And I thought, it's time to move on. And the position at the Rankin County Sheriff's Office became available, and I accepted that.
Now, working in a university setting, I find that, we're doing a career that doesn't have anything to do with educating students, mm-hmm. but you kind of can't help it.
Sure.
When you work at a university, there are opportunities. Did you have those interactions?
I did. I had many opportunities to speak with students and encourage them and give them the best advice I could give them. Matter of fact, at that particular time when I was first hired here, they were looking for administrative personnel to teach MSU 101. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do that. And I taught probably 2 years of MSU 101 each semester, teaching one class. And that was a great experience for me, just being in a classroom, being able to relay some life experiences. In the academic setting, the research and everything that's set forth is done a lot of times by what somebody's researched and found out. To me, it just adds something really special to when you can bring in life experiences mm-hmm. and you can instruct and teach in that. This is the way, that you can learn to do it, but this is how you really do it,
Yeah.
Sometimes you can be taught one thing, but you have to do something totally different, Mm-hmm. It may not be opposite, but it's different.
Right.
When you get out in the workforce.
I think often young people don't realize that there are many different paths to the goal.
Exactly, yes.
And it's nice to impart that knowledge.
Sure, it is. And like I said earlier, I've been blessed to do this, and I want to give back because if I would take all the training that I've experienced and just closed it up and didn't relay it back, it would be selfish on my part, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't be right. So I have to give back, and I felt like it's what I've been doing, throughout my career, is helping give back to my community that's supported me.
Right. Well, obviously, your first retirement didn't stick.
It didn't stick.
And then you ended up over at the Sheriff's Department.
I told him, I said, I failed first retirement miserably. I failed it. But I really did know in my heart that sometime, I didn't know it would be as soon as it was, that I would go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And because at that time I was 44, I was still young enough to continue working. But I knew my time at MSU, I'd put that time in and it was time for me to move on. And I thought maybe I could do something part-time, but actually part-time became full-time pretty quick. And then probably a year after I'd started with the sheriff's office, Sheriff Jack Carter promoted me to chief deputy.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've seen a lot of change here in Round County, and I want to talk about some of the mm-hmm. the really impactful stuff. But first, let's discuss some of the positive things that you've seen change here.
In Round County?
In Round County, in Morehead, generally speaking.
Morehead, Round
yeah.
County. You see a lot of the people that really pour into you a lot, because you're in a position that is a public, you're a public servant, and you, and we understand we work for our community. You know, whether I was with Morehead State or Round County, you know, our citizens are our first and foremost our responsibility. And to be able to interact on a daily basis with the public has been so wonderful. You know, a lot of times they'll come to you because there's a problem. You know, mm-hmm. you know, if you're out and about, most of the time you're approached. Ever so often you get people come up, hey, how you doing, want to do it. That's the casual conversation. But most of the time they had issues or had a problem going on. That's why they came to you. And with that, being able to help, you know, give them advice or information, a lot of times we may not be able to help them at all, but we may be able to pull them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Give them that type of information. Mm-hmm. And seeing that and knowing that you've helped somebody, you know, that and that's been positive. Seeing us come because of this drug epidemic that has infected not only our area, but so much of the United States and the world, really. Stepping up, you know, when things start happening in a negative way, there's, you know, we've been able to counter it a lot. Mm-hmm. And step up and do what we need to do, and you know, some things you don't have control over, but what you can do is you can minimize a lot of things just by responding the right way. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that happen, and that's been very positive for our community.
Now, I do want to talk a little bit more about the drug epidemic, but first we need to take a quick break. Sure. Here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Enjoy a tasty lasagna dinner and concert by the MSU Choirs on Thursday, October 17th at First Baptist Church in Morehead. Dinner at 5:30 p.m. followed by a concert at 7:30. Performances by the MSU Concert Choir, chamber singers, jazz vocal, and black gospel ensembles. Tickets $12 for adults and $8 for students. Proceeds support upcoming tours by the MSU Choirs. Lasagna dinner and concert by the MSU Choirs, 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, October 17th at Morehead's First Baptist Church.
Welcome back here on Open Mic on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with newly retired Officer Joe Klein. Well, you were Chief Deputy most recently at the mm-hmm. Round County Sheriff's Office. Thanks again for being on the show.
You're welcome, Leanne.
We were talking a little bit about changes that you've seen in your 35 mm-hmm. years of law enforcement, and you know, one of the biggest changes has been the drug epidemic. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe when you first started, it probably wasn't as prevalent as it is now. Or was it? Am I naive in that aspect?
No, it wasn't near as prevalent, near as widespread. You know, I mean, there's things, you know, we've dealt with illegal substances out here for, you know, for 35 years. They were doing it before I started, you know, 35 right. years ago. But it seemed like it just, if you use the word exploded, it came up on us really quick. We did have some foreknowledge by some training that we attended out of state in different places something was coming, but it was like the tidal wave. You can't stop it. Mm-hmm. We knew it was coming. We had to be prepared the best we could. We can do, you know, my belief on what I've seen over the years, the concept of UNITE, the UNITE program was very positive and instrumental in helping us combat this, because they went at it with a three-prong approach: the enforcement, the education, and the treatment. And it takes all three. We found out that if you try to attack it with just one area, it doesn't work. But if you approach this with the three-prong approach, and it does take enforcement, it does take education, and it does take treatment. It has you have to, and you've got to combine that. It has made a difference. I mean, there are many out here that has suffered from this addiction. Mm-hmm. It's been in my family. It's just we've referred to it as the monster. It's the monster of addiction out here, and you know, it's been a battle. We've scratched our head and said, I don't know, we don't have the answer for this, but this is the way we're going to do it. And I think it started with the enforcement part of it. You have to separate the person from their addictive substance. You have to get that separation for a period of time, and then you can work on the education, the treatment program. Everything works together, and we've had Unite in this community has really helped us. We've been able to use funding from Unite to get things started, and it's worked to a point. But I think it's like anything else, funding either slows down or it stops, and then you have to find something else to work with.
Right.
Because everything revolves around the dollar, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Moorhead has, and Moorhead and Rowan County seems to have this habit that always surprises me, and I don't know why. I've seen it so often that I shouldn't be surprised anymore. Mm-hmm. But they show up in a big way.
I think it started back when we were trying to educate our community, and I think we've done a pretty good job at that. And the reason I say that is because there's still overdoses going on with the heroin that has flooded our community and meth, amphetamines, things like that. But I think we did a really good job about education and getting the information out there. Information and education is powerful when it gets into the right areas, because our community, and I believe the reason, Leanne, that we came together the way we did is because, number one, our community cares, but they realized it was everybody's problem. It wasn't just law enforcement. It just wasn't in education. It wasn't just the church's issue. It wasn't the school's issue. It was everybody's issue.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know that you have to have a hand in this, every one of us, and we couldn't do what we do in law enforcement without our community calling us and giving us information and telling us what's going on, because there's only so many eyes and ears in law enforcement that's out here in our community.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got people in their neighborhood saying, hey, this is going on and that's going on, what can we do? We turned it back around and say, this is what you can do for us and this is what you can do for your community. Give us this type of information.
Right. Now, obviously, times have changed, and looking at it from the law enforcement side of things, is there anything that you learned in the beginning that you had to unlearn and relearn in a different way, or something that challenged you in that way as far as, I don't know, best practices or things that adjusted within your career path?
I think dealing with people and communicating with people has been the biggest adjustment with me. It's a little bit hard to explain in the beginning, because I wasn't as people oriented, I would say it that way, as I am now. But and over time, I think that's helped improve me as a person, as an individual. When I started my law enforcement career, like most law enforcement officers do, you start working the night shift. In my shift was like midnight to 8 or 11 to 7, something like that. There's a night world out there that's totally different from the day world. And most citizens don't realize while they're asleep what actually goes on at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing. That's a good thing. We'll let law enforcement take care of that, because, it's a totally different world. And when I changed from night shift I went from night shift to an evening shift where I was out and around more people. And when it was a big change for me to go from nights to evenings, because I was able to interact with people that, I guess for the best way to explain it was, I said to myself not long after I started my evening shift, you know what, there are some good people still out here.
Mm-hmm.
Night shift, all I dealt with seemed to be with the ones that were looking to get into things.
Yeah,
because it was always we respond to this issue. Not saying that day shift or evening didn't do that either, but
the number
it was over and over and over, and that's why when I changed shifts and went to a day and evening shift, I said, wow, there's so many good people out here, and that's probably the biggest change that happened not only to me but that I saw and I saw it in other officers too.
Mm-hmm.
They could see people, and you deal with different people differently because of the clientele, if you want to call it, that you have to deal with on a daily basis. They're just so much interaction that you have to do, and there's ways you have to do it, and it's different. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but
it does. I feel like mm-hmm. when you spend a lot of time only dealing with people, and it's not good.
Right.
There's no redemption right. available in that situation.
Right.
That it could burn you out really fast. You could lose your faith in humanity because all the people that you encounter seem to be having a really bad day.
Yes.
In one way or another.
You explained it well. And that's true. You deal with that over and over, and after a period of time, you just have to I don't like the word cynical, but you get so, is this the way everybody is? But it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped me so much. And that's the biggest change that I could see from I'd worked the night shift probably 5 years before I went to another shift.
Right.
And over that time, it helped me, but it changed me. And then I got to go back to seeing, you know, there are so many good people out here mm-hmm. in this community.
And I guess that's probably affected what your now retired profession is going to mm-hmm. be. Because it's not like you're sitting at home twiddling your thumbs.
No, I've been pastor of the House of Prayer Church for 5 years this month. Matter of fact, this past Saturday was my anniversary date of being pastor for 5 years. That's a different experience, too. Of course, I was associate pastor there under Winston McClurg for about 26 years. I've been under him and been helping and being part of that ministry. I was able to balance it for several years, being in law enforcement and being a pastor. And, you know, I have had a lot of people comment, how do you be a Christian and be in law enforcement? Then it was, how can you be a pastor and be in law enforcement? I said, it's pretty simple. You know, there's biblical principles that will back up, both, law enforcement and being in the ministry. It's been a good balance, and I depend on the Lord to help me do that. But in time, ministry does take a lot of your time. It takes constant, whether it's checking on individuals, members of your church, or different people, and you get those phone calls, you get those issues that come up, and people need somebody that they can turn to and can rely on. And it's the same way in law enforcement. You know, I get those calls at home, and that have issues going on that they need to talk to a law enforcement officer. And then, I get the ones that need to talk. They need personal advice and minister. They need to be ministered to. And like I said, I could balance it out. But it was starting to get unbalanced, mm-hmm. That didn't really factor in on me wanting to retire, but it's still there, and I knew that the unbalancing was taking place. So yes, I've been busy, and I haven't had to worry about it.
I feel like the skill sets that you've developed in both of those careers mm-hmm. are kind of applicable in both. Mm-hmm. Your ability to help someone regardless of what hat you're wearing,
sure,
and
sure.
are very applicable in both. So it's good to see you smiling.
Yes. I'm just very blessed, and I'm honored to be a part of what I've experienced in my career. I would love to be able to explain to everyone the opportunities that I've had and how the direction my life has went, and I just couldn't ask for a better position to be in at this point, when I can everything I can reflect back on, Lynn, has been wonderful. So you have ups and downs like everybody else. There's been good things, there's been bad things. But when you balance everything out, I'm telling you, it's just been one blessed career, one blessed life. And if I can just maybe continue to pour into others that what I've been experiencing and point them in the right direction, mm-hmm. and help in any way I can, that's my goal.
Well, I hope you are able to continue to do that for quite some time, and that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Joe Klein, I really appreciate you taking the time to come in today and talk with us. I hope we'll run into each other more often on good, on not bad circumstances, but sure, on really good ones.
Again, thank you, Leanne, for having me.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And for our listeners out there, we'll see you all next Friday.